Go ahead and open up to 1 John, chapter 1. You can put a marker in John, Big John, chapter 8. I don't know how long the Lord's going to keep, I guess forever, is the Lord's going to keep teaching me about His Word, but specifically walk in the light as He is in the light. Y'all remember we started that how long ago, you know? And even as I seem to, in my mind, I'm kind of, I'll think a service or two will be a diversion. And then I find out, no, it's still right on that path, learning how to walk in the light as he is in the light, you see. So that's the verse we're going to start with here in 1 John chapter 1, looking at verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And, you know, at first blush, I remember when I first read that years ago, my thinking was, well, you know, if you're walking in the light as He is in the light, I mean, where is He? He's seated at the right hand of God. I mean, God is light. You know, the same, you back up, you know, into the beginning of the chapter, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. He is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Well, we know that we are seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father. So my first thought was, well, if we walk in the light like He's in the light, then we'll walk perfect and there will absolutely be no sin. But then it doesn't really make sense because it says, verse 7, if we're walking the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you look that up in the Greek, I'm not a Greek scholar, but there's tenses, you know. And it's that word there for cleanses means continually. It's a continuous action, not a one-time thing, but it cleanses, active, cleanses us from all sin. So it doesn't sound like we're walking perfect. But it says we're walking in the light as He is in the light. Well, now go to John 8, Big John. I think big, not big bad John, big good John. I'm going to summarize a little bit from last Sunday. You know, last Sunday we started with the verse 1 where it talks about they caught this woman in adultery in the very act, which I think was a setup somehow. It was a trap, you know. Otherwise, how are they going to do that? Caught her right in the act, brought her into what today we'd say church. They brought her right into the temple where Jesus was teaching the people. And they said, the law of Moses says we're supposed to stone her. Now, what do you say? They're tempting Him. And so Jesus, you know, and I'm going to summarize this. If I don't, I'll wind up reteaching all of it. Jesus, He acts like He doesn't even hear him. He stoops down and He begins writing on the ground. And He says, let you that are without sin, the one of you that's without sin, let you, you know, you cast the first stone at her. And then he stoops down and He starts writing on the ground again. We are not told what He wrote on the ground. I have read a lot of commentaries. You know, there's a lot of opinions. Some of them say, well, he started writing the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that's as He wrote those things, and the men there are looking at what He wrote. Uh-oh, I'm guilty of that one. So he leaves, and another guy says, uh-oh, he got to adultery, I got to go. You know, or he got to whatever, I got to go. And it says from how it's worded is interesting. It says from the eldest to the youngest. You know, those of us that have been on the planet longer, we've had longer time to sin. The list gets to us quicker. You know? Anyway, I don't know. That's a good opinion, but we're not really told. But I do know this. Whatever He wrote, it brought conviction. And one by one by one, they had to leave because they're not free from sin either. Okay? Now let's pick it up where verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none, they all of her accusers left, saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Now the condemnation here, this word is the same word over in Romans 8, 1. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Okay, that passage right there, that word condemnation there is the same one here. And literally, they were trying to get him to condemn her to a stoning. And they don't stone you to hurt you. It's a condemnation sentence to death. And he's saying, well, has no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. I'm not going to sentence you to death either. But then he says to this spiritually dead woman, before the cross, before the resurrection, go and sin no more. Well, that's what God said to everybody in the Old Testament, go and sin no more. And he gave them the law so they'd know what sin is. And most of them, many of them, tried to go and sin no more. And what does the New Testament tell us about that? Nobody could keep it. There wasn't a single person that could go and sin no more. Now, they might not commit adultery, but they'd do something else. They might not steal, but they'd do something else. And under the law, if you're guilty of violating the smallest point, then you're guilty of the whole law. Amen? All right, but he tells her an impossible thing. And so now, last Sunday, I don't want to reteach that. The reason he could say that to her, from the baptism of John, where he was baptized in the River Jordan, from that day, the kingdom of God is being preached. He is teaching and preaching the kingdom of God, which really belongs to spiritually alive people. But nobody is spiritually alive but him at this moment. But he is preaching it to them as though they already were. That's why when you read like the Beatitudes with the mindset of a fallen human, let me say it a different way, with the mindset of being a child of Adam, the first Adam, it's hopeless. Because nobody could even keep the written law. Well, the written law was thou shalt not commit adultery. As long as you didn't commit it, you were innocent. But he raised the bar. Says, no, if you even look on that woman with lust in your heart. I got a pretty good feeling, women. It works the other way, too. If you even look on that man. Anyway. I don't know. I've got a feeling it works both ways. But well, all of a sudden, you went from not guilty to guilty. You know? If it wasn't that, it'd be something else. You know? Well, I don't look on people with lust, but I hate that guy. Well, there you go, see? Yeah. So what he was doing is raising the bar. It is impossible as a child of the first man, Adam, because there's a fallen nature on the inside of you. I don't know if you saw this morning's message. I thought that was astounding how Alan laid that out today. But anyway, getting back to this. So he is preaching impossible and possible at the same time. Now, what I mean by that, impossible to go and sin no more to spiritually dead. Let's just stay with this woman caught in the act of adultery. Go and sin no more. She'd probably, if she's honest, she'd raise her hand and say, I've tried. All of us, couldn't we add our testimony? I've tried that. I'm going to do better. I'm not going to do that. Well, we can all identify with the Romans 7 guy, you know. I wasn't going to do that bad thing anymore. I did pretty good for about 3 days. Or 3 hours, and whatever it is, you know. Then I wound up doing. We can all relate with that, see. So he says to her, if you'll allow me, okay, go and say, and, you know, let's just say she went, I've tried, Lord, I can't. Now what if he says, here, go sit on the front row, sit right there. I'm going to do some teaching. I'm going to teach you some things. So let's just picture with me that she is sitting on that front row. And he starts going down through his teaching here. And the very first thing he says is, look at the following verse. Let me read verse 11 so you see the flow. See, sometimes when they put a paragraph heading there, you see, I don't know if your Bible has a little paragraph thing, mine does. Trust me, the subject has not changed here. So he says to her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. But let's just picture he sets her on the front row. Then he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. But now, this is the title for tonight's message. But shall have the light of life. And she's sitting on the front row. Plain English, she's going, listen, I know what you're saying. I told you to go and sin no more. I understand what you're saying. If you will follow me, if you will continue in my teachings, the day will come. See, he knows the day will come when the light, the life that's on the inside of me, that same light, that same life, will be on the inside of you. And you will no longer walk in darkness. God. He's preaching the new birth already. He's already preaching it. And the same chapter, now I'm skipping over tons of stuff from last Sunday, but come on down to verse 31, real famous verse. We hardly ever keep it in the context. Think about this woman caught in adultery hearing this. The one who wants to stop, the one who wants to go and sin no more, but finds it impossible, like everybody does, till they're born again. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from walking in darkness. Free from walking in sin. Skip on down to verse 34. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And that word is, the Greek word is doulos. It can mean servant. It can mean slave. Let's use the word slave for tonight. Still thinking about that woman caught in adultery. And he says, look, the reason you continue to commit sin, you don't know it, but you're a slave to sin. There's a nature on the inside of you that you cannot escape from. That's why Paul, in one of his writings, says the purpose of the law, it was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Eventually, you're supposed to be the guy in Romans 7. Eventually, you come to the place of frustration. I find this law working in my members. There's no matter what my mind says, I love your law. I love you, God. I want to keep your law. But there's another law working on the inside of me that I can't escape. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he's saying, I am. I am the light of life. In fact, at this point now, let's back up. Just, we're talking about the light of life. Jesus is basically saying the difference, woman who committed adultery, the difference between you and me, I have the light of life, and you do not have the light of life. You can't walk in the light because you don't have the light. Now, in the Old Testament, you'll see where over and over again they would say, thy word is a lamp or a light unto my path. That is what they had. That's all the light. It was an external light. It is light. God's word and God are one. But it was an external light. The Ten Commandments is external. Okay. But now we know the New Covenant. We know what they didn't know. Jesus knew what was coming. God, in this covenant, after the resurrection, when you are born again, he gives you a light on the inside. And that's what he's saying. And where he writes his law, let's say, well, he writes his law in your mind and in your heart. Or you could say he gives you a new nature. And it's a light that you can walk by now. See, he says, you shall have the light of life. Back up to chapter 1, how John starts. Big John starts his gospel. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now here it is. In Him who? The Word. The one that's going to be made manifest here in just another verse or two. And walked among us. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Did you get that? The life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They didn't realize who it was standing before them. And the whole earth was populated and still is populated unless you're born again. But when He was on the earth, before the resurrection, there's only one light. There's only one physical form of a human on planet Earth with the light of life on the inside of him. And that's Him. And it empowered Him to walk free from sin. He never said it was easy. He was walking in the same kind of flesh we're walking in. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, He talks about the struggle between the spirit man and the flesh. And He says, sometimes it'll get so rough. Jesus would never tell you to cut your own hand off. But He'd say, that war may get so rough, it may feel like you are. Gouge your eye out. I want to see. Gouge it out. He doesn't mean literally gouge it out. It says, as painful as that would be, it might be painful. There may be withdrawals. It may be a problem to separate your flesh from what your flesh wants to do. You see that? Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Do you ever think about it? When they laid that cross on Jesus' shoulder, and he's carrying it. Somewhere on the inside, he says, I remember when I created trees. He created the tree that he was crucified on, if you'll allow me. Isn't that amazing? Man. He was in the world was made by him. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came as unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. I see over here, when I was in John 8 a while ago, it's when he turns to those Jews that believed on him. And he says, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So here he says, verse 12, but as many as received him, or you could say as many as believed on him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of your earthly parents, nor of the will of the flesh. This birth is not a fleshly birth, nor of the will of man. This wasn't man's idea. This was God's idea. To birth you again. This time, not as the offspring of the first man, Adam, but as the offspring of the last man, Adam. And when he birthed you the second time, he birthed you with the light of life. Whew. The light of life. You have light. The way it's worded, the light of life. You have a light on the inside now to walk by. If we walk in the light, I don't know that I have the total revelation, but I've got part of it. If we walk in the light that he lit us with. Can I say it that way? Can you tell he lighteth every man? He lit your candle. He lit you. There is a light on the inside of you. His law is written already in your heart and in your mind. Every thought you have is either excused or inexcused by that new nature, by that inner witness. And that's how you walk in the light. And if you do stumble, if you stumble along the way, and stumble is a nice plural word, if you sin, if you sin along the way, thank God the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. But it's a family, not a religion. What does every parent want from their child when they mess up? Well, that's it for you. Smack. Boy, I'm glad my parents didn't do that with me now, you know. They had ample, if my parents would have been like that, they had ample opportunity to kick old Gary to the curb and that's it. You know, we're done with you. No. I remember my daddy said, boy, it's always boy. When it's in my 60s, it was still boy. I love my daddy. When I was young, I remember, I know exactly, this was when we lived on Sand Springs Line in a trailer house, and I was going to Mark Twain Elementary School. I remember this like it was yesterday. And that's when we had Queenie the dog, the big old boxer dog that would grab me by my jeans and drag me all over the yard, and I loved that dog. My jeans in those days always just had tatters at the bottom because Queenie would get a hold of me and just drag me all over the yard. Anyway, my dad, I remember one time, so I was in the sixth grade. My dad told me, I forget exactly what was going on now, but I remember this. He says, boy, now if you mess up, there's going to be consequences. But if you lie to me about it, and I find out, the consequences for the lying is going to be way worse than the consequences for whatever you did. Don't you ever lie to me, boy. My dad loved me. He was trying to guide me. He was trying to steer me onto the path of righteousness, you know, have me grow up to be a good man, see? But every parent, that's what they want. Don't lie to me about it. If you did it, come and tell me. There may be consequences, but we're going to get past this. And a good parent will train you. I remember way back. When he shows me these rabbit trails, my job is not to ignore them, okay? Way younger now. I was way younger because we were still living in Shawnee. So I couldn't have been over 5 years old. And I was playing in the backyard with some friends of mine. I remember that. And we didn't really have a baseball and a bat. We had sticks and rocks. And, you know, one guy would soft underhand throw the rock. And if you're the one at bat, then you hit it with that stick. We weren't trying to do anything wrong, you know, and we're just kids. We're not hitting it very far. But I hit a good one. Trouble is, it was a foul rock. It went way over to the left and broke out the neighbor's upstairs window. Smash! You should have never saw some little boys scatter so quick in your life now, you know. Man, I was scared, you know, but I... My daddy, I didn't lie to him about that one. I mean, you know, the neighbor already knew anyway. My daddy, I was scared. I was shaking in my little boots. I'm scared. But he got on to me. I didn't get a spanking because he knew that I didn't do anything malicious, you know. He got on to me. He says, first off, he says, I'm going to get you a ball and a bat. He says, when you guys play, I want you to face this way, you know, different way out in the backyard so you can hit the ball over there, okay? And so in other words, he gave me instruction how not to mess up like that again. But now the neighbor's window still got to be fixed. Upstairs, it's on the second story. How many of you think he expected a five-year-old kid to climb the ladder, remove that broken glass, go through all it? No, no. At the end of it, it was, all right, son, you go ahead and go play with your friends. Daddy's going to fix the window. Now, later on, God used that experience to teach me out of the book of Hebrews, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. My daddy perfectly fulfilled that. I received his mercy first. He helped me, taught me, so I wouldn't make that mistake again. But then I received his grace to help to fix that broken window. Somebody has really broken a window out there. You've messed up. and you don't think you can fix it, maybe you can't fix it. That's your verse now. Come boldly. Go boldly to the throne of grace. What you're going to find there is mercy. Mercy. We only need mercy when we did it. There's no reason for mercy if you didn't do it. You did it. So you need whatever it was. Okay, just go to him. Be honest with him. You're going to get mercy. Then you're going to get something else. And you're going to receive your Father's grace to help. Grace to help in your time of need. And I don't care what it is. You've got a great Father. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you think you've broken. Or not. Maybe you did break it. I don't care what you broke. It's not bigger than our Father can fix. I'm telling you right now. It's not bigger than our Father can fix. But go to him like the child of God that you really are. Go to him. Just be honest with him. You know, best you know how. I did it. This is what I did. I'm sorry. He may have instruction for you how not to do that again. Then you're going to find your Father's help is right there. His grace is there to help and fix that and rectify that situation. That was a good little rabbit trail, wasn't it? Okay. Well, I want to finish up that one part now. We're still in John chapter 1. Look at verse 12. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was, we talk about the miracle of miracles, the Word, this being, this God, who always was, that nothing was made without him. He became flesh and walked among us. I can't help it. Hold your place there. Go back to little John. It's the same John. You know, he wrote the Gospel of John. Or let's say it this way. Those events happened when he was a pretty young man. But he wrote this his epistles near the end of his life. This is after a lifetime of walking with Jesus and serving the Lord. I get weepy when I think about this, you know. I don't know how old he was. He's probably younger than I am now when he wrote this. Maybe not. They say John lived to be pretty old. Now, the same event and the same writer at the end, near the end of his life says in 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. I can feel the miracle still alive in him. He knows. He wrote this. This is the Word. He who made everything. He who made everything. We handled him. We saw him. We touched him. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Now notice, of the Word of what? This Word of life. For the life was manifested. Life that had never been seen on planet Earth since the fall of man. Nobody had handled or seen or touched or heard this life before these men did. He says, but it was manifested. It was, we saw it, we heard it, we touched it. This life was manifest. We have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. This is what we heard from him, that God is light. You shall walk in the light of life, Jesus said. If you continue with me, you shall walk in the light of life. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Go to Romans 2. Romans 2. Now, while you're going there, I don't have any notes tonight. I'm just following him best I know how here. Romans 2. But even before you get there, out of John 8, you remember this? We got to keep it all in context. In fact, okay, hold your place in Romans 2. Go back to John 8. I want you to see this in the context, because we normally separate these events. We don't see it, the continuity that we should. Remember the woman caught in adultery. Don't forget her. Guilty as sin. Okay? Under the law of Moses, death. Okay? There's no offering, by the way, for adultery. It's just death. Okay? All right? By the way, there's no offering for murder either. David was guilty. By the law, should have been stoned to death. But he found mercy and grace to help in his time of need, too. See? Anyway, that's another lesson. But don't forget this woman. And after he says, go and sin no more, it helps me in my meditator to see her sitting on the front row. He's hearing this teaching. She was there, and here comes these guys, and they're going, this woman, she is the guilty. She is one. She needs to be stoned to death according to the law. So Jesus, he stoops down and he writes. Whatever he writes, when they read it, he says, let the first one that's without sin cast the stone. Whatever he writes, they're going, I'm out of here. Because anyway, they're guilty, and they realize they're guilty. So then he turns to her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And it helps me for her to be transparent and go, how in the world would I do that? Sit right here on the front row. I have some teaching for you. So then he says, in the very next verse, I am the light of the world. Now, would you say she has been walking in darkness? I would say so. Okay. But he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, woman, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, I'm going to run way out of time. Remember when he stooped down and wrote on the ground? Did he convince all of them that they were sinners? In that same chapter now, come on down to verse 46. He says, which of you convinces me of sin? All right. There's the same ground I wrote on. Here you come and write, and you write something that'll convince me of sin. Let's see you come. Give it your best shot. Like, give it your best shot. Nobody does anything. Why? Because he was walking in the light of life. And right there, he's demonstrating good. This is that very passage where he's going, I am from above. You are from beneath. You are of this world. I am not of this world. But he is preparing them. He's teaching and preaching that the kingdom of God shall. He's preaching it as though they're already born again. But he's got her sitting on the front row, and he says, continue in my teachings. If you continue in my teaching, you will become my disciple. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How many of you think? It helps me to think she stayed. She might have been one of the 120 in the upper room. I don't know. But I believe that woman got born again and walked in the light of life. I can't prove it, but I can think what I want. It doesn't hurt, does it? Because he was preaching to her. He's telling her, now you don't have to continue walking in darkness. And he's showing the big contrast. I am from above. You are from beneath. You are of this world. I am not of this world. He says, all I did was stoop down and write a little bit, and I convinced every one of you of sin. Which one of you is going to come over here and convince me of sin? See, he's walking by a different light. Now let's look at that light. This is Nathan 101. This is Romans chapter 2. I'll tell you what a big sin of the church has been. Maybe sin is too strong. A big error, big E-R-R-O-R, of the church. And again, I have to give thanks. I thank God for our pastor, Dave Roberson, who laid out meticulously the born-again trail so that we don't have to continue in that same error. One of the biggest errors, mistakes of the modern church, they have not given enough credit to the new nature. I'm just going to make a statement. The new nature, if they came to take away all your precious things, and I'm talking even your children and your spouse, the most precious thing you have on planet Earth is the new nature. And I'll tell you another thing. It is more powerful than the church has ever given it credit for. David, he's so correct when he says, if the Holy Spirit could set man free from sin, he would have set all the Old Testament saints free from sin. God, when you think about that, God, the Holy Spirit himself, God, you understand, God the Father, God, it's not like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, like, no, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God himself could not set man free from sin without that new nature on the inside of man. It is the new nature. You want to walk in light? You want to walk in the light of life? I would like to be able to stand someday and say, which of you convinces me of sin? Not anybody agreed with me at all. I didn't get a single amen, but that would be good. Well, we have the light of life. Now let's look at the light. Let's look at the light of life. And it's in Romans 2. Verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, in other words, God never gave the law of Moses to the Gentiles. Isn't that right? They have not the law. They don't have the written law. But they do, boy, if you underline, by nature. These are born-again people. Born-again people. Gentiles who have heard the gospel and become born again. When these do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, not the external law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts. It's so amazing to me that the writer of Hebrews has the same thing. I will write my, really prophesied from the Old Testament, I will write my law in their hearts and in their minds. And here we have it, written in their hearts and their thoughts. Do you see that? Written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. That's Nathan 101. But it's really Dave 101. It's Born Again Trail 101. And he does right off. After Nathan said it, I went back and listened to it again. In the early, early part of the Born Again Trail, Dave says the first stronghold you have to get past, you have to stop thinking that you're not free from sin. You are free from sin. You are from the day you're born again. You are free from sin. Now, the practical application of that. See, that is the light. That nature right there. The one that Alan went through such great, extreme, slow, even got God in the picture. that visual demonstration. When that candle was lit, when the new nature shows up, I'll never forget it. For me, it was 1980. It was July of 1980 when I got born again in my living room right here in Tulsa. I was a grown man. I was 33 years old. Suddenly, there's preaching from the inside. suddenly there's nobody's telling me outside to get rid of my pornography. And I'm not going to go into great detail. I didn't look then like I look now, okay? Anyway. I remember the raging hormones, but anyway. There's preaching from the inside. There's a new sheriff in town. This has got to go. What? What? This has got to go. There's a nature rising up. And anything in the house that's not holy and righteous had to go. What? And what's amazing, I still remember my natural, you know, that he had this, was it Joe that was in between the two Nate, you know, the anyway, I can't reteach all that. My Joe, my mind arguing with this new preacher that's on the inside. This new law written in my heart and in my mind. It's going, do you know how much money I have invested in this? I mean, I was proud of my collection. I'd show it off when people come over. Anyway, God help us all. It had to go. It went real quick. Then he came after my. Now, again, I'm not after. For me, in those days, rock and roll music in those days for Gary was an idol. May not be for you. You may have another idol. But for me, this preacher said, it's got to go. It's got to go. And it's coming from the inside. Nobody outside is telling me nothing. It's coming from the inside. See, we're talking about walking by the light of life. If we walk in the light, that light comes from the inside. He lit your candle. That's how you walk by it. And I stumbled. Y'all know what happened. I told you already. I got rid of all my albums except one. Bad Company. Bum, bum, bum. Somebody of you look at me, you don't even know what I'm talking about. But anyway, it's the black album with the white letters. Anyway, I hid that one. Yeah, okay, somebody knows what I'm talking about over here. Hallelujah. It's so funny, like God wouldn't know where I hid it. Would you call that a stumble? Would you call that disobedience? Yes. Okay. I like what Tim always says. He says, delayed obedience is still disobedience. But I always counter, but it's better than no obedience at all. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But anyway, I hid the thing. I hid it. And it wasn't until we were moving a year or so, or 6 months later, we were moving and we were cleaning out the closets. And then I was so embarrassed. I had walked longer with the Lord by then. I said, oh, God, I'm so embarrassed that I hid this one. I never even listened to it again, but I just couldn't part with it. But I did that day. I got rid of it. See? Now, would you say that the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me from that unrighteousness? I was so sorry when I saw that album there. I was so embarrassed. God, I'm sorry. I can't believe that I hid this one back. There's no point lying to him like, oh, look what I found, this album. Now, see, that's what he doesn't want. He wants honesty. And I'm so sorry. And I just felt his presence and his love. I said, it's out of here. It's out of here. I'm sorry. It's out of here. See, we're in a family. But how you literally walk in the light of life. Let's look at it again. It's right here. God has written his law in your heart and in your mind. You don't really need anybody to tell you. You have somebody already who's telling you. That new nature is the most precious, powerful, can I say anointed thing that you have. This is the treasure that the King David, if you'll allow me, would have killed for this. This is what all the Old Testament saints wanted, this empowerment to really walk above sin. And we have it, and we don't even know we have it. And we just treat it like it's not a very important thing. It is the most important, precious, holy, powerful thing. Something that can set man free from sin. How powerful is that? And it is the light of life. This nature is the light of life. It is how he lights your candle. And how you walk in that light. It's just exactly like described in these two verses. Verse 14 again. I'm going to say, for when the believers, because it's the same whether you're Jew or Gentile, you know, your history. For when the believers, when you may not have the external law, but they do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. You can harden your conscience. You can walk in disobedience. Really, the moment, everybody knows this. If you're born again, you know. You can violate that conscience anytime you want to, can't you? For benefit of the tape, there's, yes, thank you. You can. You can violate it. And if you do, what happened? You seared it a little bit. And if you continue, people come all the time, I can't hear God. Well, now I'm not saying it's the only reason, but one of the main reasons. You sear that. Dave said over and over again, he said, the same place in you where you hear your conscience, that is the same place in you where you hear the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I can't find his plan. Been violating your conscience a lot, have you? Been not looking at anybody now. Been cheating on your taxes. Been lying to your wife. Been cheating. Been, I'm trying not to look at anybody. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be big things. It could be little things. But if you're constantly searing that conscience, and that's the same place in you where the voice of the Holy Spirit comes, and you go, well, I can't find his leadership. Well, rebellion might be part of the problem. Now, I got to close. I'm telling you from experience. Don't ask me any more questions than this. You can harden, let's say, what, callous? You can callous that conscience. But don't ask me how I know this. You can say, Father, I repent. Help my conscience become tender again. Help my conscience to become tender again. I'm going to do my best to follow that voice of the new nature that you put on the inside of me. Help me, Lord. And you know, here we go again. Come to that throne of grace. Just tell him the truth. You think he's not going to have mercy on you? He died for you. He's going to have mercy on you, and he's going to give you grace to help in your time of need. And you'll find, you'll start hearing it again. Now, it may take a little while to really get it tender. But I'm telling you, if you faithfully obey the voice of that inner witness, that it's amazing how the leadership of the Holy Spirit. See, there's two lights. There's the inward light of the Holy Spirit, and then there's the inward light of the new nature. Then there is being led by the light of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a whole different thing, which we'll get into another time. But the voice of the Holy Spirit comes into you through the same place where the voice of your new nature speaks. And if you've nailed 2x6s over that door by disobedience, I'm going to lie, I'm going to cheat, I'm going to steal, I'm going to this, I'm going to that, and you've done it and done it and done it, and you go, I don't know why I can't hear God. Well, you've got 2x6s nailed all over the door where he walks through and speaks to you, if you'll allow me. The Holy Spirit, God will have mercy on you. You can get those 2x4s, those 2x6s off of there. And that his voice can become very, very tender to you again. Amen? Walk in the light of life. Make it your constant practice. Ask him to help you if you're out of practice. Walk. That's how you walk in the light. Walk by the leading of that new nature. Then his leadership becomes much more easy. Amen?